Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Wayne's Big Show, served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler. And Wendy's, baby, right now at Wendy's, get a breakfast baconator, honey butter chicken biscuit, sausage, egg, and Swiss croissant, or a frosty Chino, and get a second one of those, any one of those, for just $1. Just $1. So you buy one, you get the second one for $1. Tomorrow's looking good at Wendy's. Buy one, get one for $1 of any one of four breakfast faves, including their breakfast baconator, honey butter chicken biscuit, sausage, egg, and Swiss croissant, or the frosty Chino. And you can get a second one of those for just $1. Wendy's
What's
Big
a
Show.
Chino?
A frosty Chino. It's like a cappuccino, but it's got like the frosty flavoring that goes along with it. It's delicious.
Oh, you know how to
it's like a cold drink. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're really, really good. Hey, very sweet.
Gary, happy birthday to Jen.
Yo, well, thank you, Leroy.
If you didn't know, because I know you're not real astute to stuff like that.
So well, thank you, Jen. I'll tell Jen that you wished her a happy birthday.
Be nice. You be nice.
She has a social network. Is that network? She has a social
She has her own social network? What's it called?
This guy, man. Network. What is wrong with you?
What's it called? Gen Book? What is it?
Gen Book. Yeah, she got Gen Book out there. So you want to go on her social network, Leroy, you can wish her
a happy birthday. You don't know what a social network is?
Mm-hmm. On a social network.
Steve, that's your friend.
You can wish her. All this modern technology stuff, man. I, you know, whatever that stuff is. Go on a social network, Leroy, and wish her a happy birthday. Go on that. She out there on that Facebook and Instagram. I don't think she does Snapchat, but it was a Snapchat, whatever it is.
Oh, I stopped that when Rihanna had a problem with them.
Yeah,
I stopped messing with them.
I don't think she's doing all that. Steve, I'd like to get your point of view. You heard from Leroy and I, Steve. Mm. What's your take on all this? Kaepernick, all this good stuff.
Well, the Kaepernick stuff, I mean, we all agreed on. There was nobody arguing about Kaepernick on this show amongst hosts or anything else. I mean, I know why we're doing the topic, because there were a lot of people that didn't want to seem to get it or understand it back when it was all going on, including the National Football League, who also didn't want to seem to get it or understand it. They apparently do now, but they didn't back then. So I guess I just don't get a lot of stuff, to be quite honest with you. I mean, it's watching some of these videos. I retweeted one on the Fan account earlier today from South Carolina, and I have no words for what happened there. And somebody tweeted back, "Oh, it looks staged." Well, if those are actors, and they're damn good actors, because they fooled me if that's what it was. I mean, you had a standoff between a bunch of cops in riot gear and a bunch of younger people, probably in their 20s. And they were all on one knee, and there was no threatening maneuvers or anything. And there's an African-American talking about peace and love, and we all need to get along, we're all human beings. And he goes on and on and on for a minute, 90 seconds. And all of a sudden, cops come walking up, arrest him, and take him away. I have no idea. I have no clue. And I put it on the Fan account and just said, "Hey, tell me what I'm missing here. But what did he do to get arrested? Like, I have no idea." And so some of this stuff that you're seeing, and while, you know, I saw the tweets earlier, well, there are some good cops. Sure, there are. There are some good cops. Absolutely.
But over the majority.
Right. But you're also seeing some cops that aren't so good. I mean, I saw another video, and there's just so many videos. You see another video where there's an African-American lady sitting on the ground. She's got her mask on, whatever else, and she's just sitting there. And some cop is dealing with something. He turns around, and instead of walking around her, he takes his hand and shoves her sideways on the curb and pushes her over. To which an African-American cop, female cop, came up, shoved him, and pushed him all the way into the back, yelling and screaming at him for touching that lady. So, I mean, you've got people within the police force trying to police each other. You got another guy in Seattle who had his knee on the neck of a protester, or whatever the case was, and people were yelling at him, and the other cop took the guy's knee and moved it off of his throat and onto his shoulder or whatever to stop him. I mean, there's just so much stuff. And there's good stuff, too. I mean, the one in Flint, Michigan, with that guy. That was awesome, right? Walk with us, and you walk. I mean, there was one in Milwaukee, the Ted Perry Fox 6 tweeted out, I think it was yesterday. I'm pretty sure it was yesterday. About the cops had a line blocked off on a street. The protesters came up, and there was a couple of seconds there where they were face-to-face. And then all of a sudden, the cops turned and walked away and let them through. And the crowd went crazy. I don't know, man. The whole thing is just a mess. I just feel like it's just one big reoccurring pattern. I mean, how many times on this show have we done this very thing when we're in this situation? In the last 10 years or whatever, Gary, that we've done this show, this has got to be the third or fourth time we've done this.
Yeah, we've never seen it.
For these many days consecutively.
Yeah, we've never seen it. And we should have known that it was growing. I mean, we should have known. Now, I will say this. The pandemic, you know, everybody staying at home. I mean, that heightens stuff a little bit more than what we've ever seen. I mean, the country is in disarray right now. Everybody's staying home. You know, you've got the job rate now is at an all-time low. The unemployment rate is at an all-time low. You got people that don't have money. People can't pay rent. I mean, people are stressed out right now to the max.
Yep.
And then on top of this, within the last, 3 months, you have had multiple people, black people being killed by the police. And so that brings us, it's more like a perfect storm, I would say, Steve, than anything else. And it was bound to happen. And it just felt like, though, you look at the United States, it just felt like that we weren't united. It just felt like we weren't together. I mean, we had never seen jokers marching with that. To me, Steve, that was a telltale sign. How now all of a sudden you gonna march with all these jokers with these tiki torches? You are sending a message on a national level.
Yeah.
We had never seen that. We knew that it was, and we might have known. Some people might have known like it was there, right? Background. But we didn't know that we was working right next to the Joker. No, you do. So we have never seen it like that. It is out in your face. These are the people. This is who I am. Now, you just saw something that the guy that was the tanker truck,
not necessarily who supports him.
Yep.
That was straight up crazy. Now, there was a thing to have, what, in North Carolina, South Carolina, you just said?
South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. Yep.
And that's in itself.
That was ridiculous too. Yeah, there's so much stuff.
When I heard them say Jews would never replace us, I got sick to my stomach. I'm like, are you serious? Are people yelling this out?
We didn't see this in our country. I mean, it's all that was
that shocked me from being from the South.
It is in our family.
I never thought that people would. Yeah. I know people thought that. But I didn't think you could just walk down the street and say that with those in Charlottesville. And then a young lady died from that.
Right. Yeah. No doubt.
I would say this, Steve.
I would say this. No, Colin Kaepernick should not be back in the NFL. I think that has served its purpose.
I don't know if he wants to even come back.
I don't think he does. We're going to have Andrew
Brandt. I think it was in his contract.
Well, we have Andrew Brandt on at what time, Steve?
3:35, about 20 minutes.
Coming up shortly. But I think what we need, though, maybe because they missed the boat, maybe they circle back to him. And maybe he could work within the NFL. I mean, they can give him a job to do something.
Sure. Give him a front office job. Sure.
To help race relations.
Sure. Nah. I can see that.
He could do a positive on race relations throughout the NFL and help people. I think that's the way. And if he doesn't want to do that, then that's on him. But he could be a voice. Because really, to me, he was ahead of his time. Nobody saw it. I mean, nobody was talking about it.
People saw it, just weren't talking about it. Right.
Nobody was talking about it. Nobody was doing it.
No, you're right.
I mean, it almost felt like that. So people like that that are in our world and they're kind of ahead of the curve, we need to pick those people's brain. And he was ostracized. I think this would be a good way for the NFL to circle back with him. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll do it because they're too good for that. But to circle back to him and try to make it right. Playing football, I think that is moved on.
Nah, because the owners are never going to want him to represent the league. And the owners are kowtowed to the president. And he already talked about, no, that'll never happen. Ever. That's why they paid him. Just go away. And then he said he'll get the protesters, some lawyers, to get out of jail, which they've arrested 4,000, by the way. Oh, that was it. That was a wrap. They're not finna back that. No, that's too much like right. Now, one thing I will say that it's two things Joe Biden said that took me by a break. But he said, you ain't black if you vote for him. That was stupid, okay? You vote for whoever you want to vote. But one thing he did say that made me say something. My mom is just brilliant. I wish she was here. She should be president. She said, my nickname was Deke, like a deacon. They thought when I grew up I was going to be a deacon in the church because I go to church 200 times a week. She said, until the public defenders get paid the same amount as the federal prosecutors, you're going to always see a lot of African-American, poor white people, minorities in jail. I said, why you say that, Mom? Because a public defender just got 50 cases. He got to get this over with. He's going to plea you out, send you to jail, next case. But if you get a lawyer, a private lawyer, okay, well, oh, you didn't have it. Okay, I'll file a motion. We need to throw that out. He didn't have it, and I can prove it. That's what I like. Vote. That's how you can make a difference.
And that is
still protest. That's how you make a difference.
That's been a popular thing being said around the country is just go vote if you want to change something.
Yeah,
Kendrick,
vote.
Northwest Side, you're next on the Fan with Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler.
What's happening, fellas?
What's happening, my brother?
Go back to my man, Leroy. Man, love you, Packers, both of y'all. You too, Sparky. You my man. I like the angriness in you. To that one guy, he's...
Gary's more angry than Sparky, but go ahead.
You know what? So you're right, Leroy. Gary's kind of like my dad. He that old angry guy. Get off my lawn. I wanted to all of my white sisters and brothers who listen to this, where that one guy said he didn't understand, you know, with the murders that happened in Chicago. Let's just pick Chicago. And then we saw this murder on film. What he doesn't understand is, and Gary brought it up, when you have hopelessness, joblessness, you're hungry, you feel like you don't have any hope, and that breeds crime, consistent crime in these areas. And this has happened over hundreds of years. And also, Gary, I'm 50. I'll be 51. And also, my white sisters and brothers, if you think about my father, he was born, he was 14 when they signed the Civil Rights Act that black people, minorities, supposedly had the same civil rights as everyone else, but this this country had been founded for a couple hundred years or something like that. And in the declaration, it says liberty and justice for all. That isn't the case. And we are such a racist society. And I'll tell you, with this sports show, with Leroy and Gary, I guarantee you, and even though you guys are smart and you're community, and it's preached upon you for whatever reason, in your DNA as a black, young black man, especially if you have any athletic ability, this is your way out. And now as a white guy, now I'm just saying, and Sparky may have been fast, could jump high, whatever. Let's just use Sparky as that. But that was not preached to Sparky. It was about going to school, getting a career, all of those things. And this is what happens, because if you look at, like, what's the boy from McCaffrey? Oh, that's a fast white. Wow. There's plenty of fast white guys that can jump and all that are athletic, but they are not in their communities. You know, sports is, I like to do it or whatever, but they are pushed towards science, math, and everything else. And these are some of the things that we feel like this is our only way out. And I'm not excusing it, because I believe there are more good cops than bad, but I believe the good cops should get rid of those bad cops right away. There shouldn't be a blue line, but
vote them off the island.
Yeah, just you gotta be gone. It should be like sports. If you can't play, if you're not there, you're getting cut.
You get
we
cut.
We don't need you. Right. We don't need you as a team. If you cannot do what you're supposed to do, you're gone. And that's what I want the people, the white people, to understand. Like you said, Kaepernick, what he did, he sacrificed his playing career, and they changed it all around to something it never was. And it, before I go, if you want to look at it, we have all these domestic violence. We had Dante Stallworth, who spoke up about the George Floyd. He killed a man, did 30 days in jail. He got to play. Mike Vick killed some dogs. And I understand people, and they love dogs in America, but he was vilified. He did 2 years in jail. He still is probably not liked by some parts of society, but they don't say anything about that black man doing black crime. If he can play, then we'll put him on there. But because Colin Kaepernick said white cops are killing, that was a problem. And we will have this type of interaction unless we can truthfully speak to each other about it needs to, the system needs to be, not, no pun intended, burned down and start over, because we are never going to grow as a country if somebody is always on top of somebody. Never. All right, thank you, guys.
Thanks for
thank
the call.
You, my brother.
All right, Chuck.
I would say this real quick. I think real quick, all law firm, they got to know how to treat women, though. I don't like some way they throwing these women down at these protests. That's disturbing. Maybe because I got 6 daughters. No, maybe because I just respect for women. You tell a little girl half your size, you're throwing her. Just take it easy. Why are you so angry, especially towards women? I just don't get that. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, we got to take a quick time out. We got to get to CBS News, and then we'll come back with Andrew Brandt, who will be joining us, former Packers CFO and our Business of Sports podcast as well. He'll join us coming up on the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. See Sparky Pfeiffer along with former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson, inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Leroy Butler. I'm Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, broadcasting live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. For all your plumbing needs, check them out at genewagnerplumbing.com. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, friend of the show, Andrew Brandt, former Packer CFO, and of course now Business of Sports podcast. Andrew, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, happy to be with you guys.
I guess first things first, I mean, in the first hour of the show, we talked about, do you understand now why Colin Kaepernick knelt? Maybe you didn't understand it before, but now do you understand it better now? Do you think the NFL understands it better now than maybe they did then?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and I think people that listened kind of understood it all along. He was, the only time he really spoke about what he did was at the very beginning, which was after a preseason game in August of whatever that year was, 2016 maybe. And he just talked about police brutality and unequal treatment for minorities when it comes to law enforcement. It was right there. I mean, the soundbite was always there. But then, as we know so well, it got conflated with military and specifically the flag and the anthem. And as I talked about on Twitter today, I mean, I feel some complicity myself because doing my spots for ESPN, doing my columns for Sports Illustrated, I would kind of phrase things and they would say, well, let's just call it anthem protests. Let's call this segment or this column or the title. And I would kind of say, well, it's not really what it's about. And then I'd kind of give in, okay, anthem protests, you know. But no, it was never that. And I think what happened with NFL owners is they kind of listened to their fans, and their fans had conflated it. Therefore, it became bad business for the NFL. And the NFL kind of listened to this majority, I think, that was saying, yeah, let's keep politics out of our game. And that's why he's been treated so poorly by the league.
Isn't it just, I mean, it's almost deja vu that we circle back and then this is where we are now with the killing of George Floyd. We see that. And now I guess we can plainly see what Colin was talking about, you know, those 3, 4, 5 years ago. And I just wonder, when you look at that, will the NFL circle back? Because I think you tweeted too that the whole workout was a sham, that they really weren't going to sign him. I mean, do they circle back and try to reach out to Colin after this?
Well, again, a couple words on that workout, because that was, in my mind, you know, I, like you guys, have been around the NFL a long time, and I had never, ever, ever seen the league set up an individual workout. The league sets up combine workouts, you know, for hundreds of players. It sets up all kinds of, you know, when combine types, the teams have workouts for individual players. And at the Packers, we'd bring a few guys in every Tuesday, or we'd bring guys in the off season, et cetera. This was the league. It was, you know, it was so unique. And of course it got muddled, and then, you know, the argument over the waiver and the argument over the camera crew, and then it went to a high school field, and only 8, I believe, or 7 of the 20-something teams that showed up to see him in the Atlanta Falcons facility could be bothered to go over to some high school field, which is even closer to the airport. Just a mess, which tells me there was a lot of cover your you-know-what in that workout where they could say, hey, if you 32 teams don't sign this guy, it's not on us anymore. You know, we did this. We set this up. We gave him a unique opportunity. So I just thought, like, what the heck is this? And, of course, it didn't work. And I think it set Colin Kaepernick back. No fault of his own, maybe a little fault of his own, for making them do it on his terms rather than theirs. But, listen, I knew then, and frankly I knew before, I wrote about it in 2018, no one was going to sign this guy. And I think a simple fact is that you want a backup quarterback who's just anonymous and quiet. You don't want attention on that position, especially that kind of attention.
Yeah, it's to me... One thing I'm glad about, Andrew, this is what I'm glad about. I'm glad we can get away from the military part of it. That really ate at me. I mean, I take Metamucil all the time, but it just bothered me. Because we all love the military. I have 2 brothers who's in the military. So I'm glad that is gone now. So now we can focus on this. What about all these programs that we saw they were supposed to be putting money into these communities and doing all these things? Because Gary's godson and a good friend of mine, we say nephew, but he's really Gary's godson, Kenny Stills, and some of these guys, they separated, Andrew. They separated because they didn't agree on some of this stuff. I just don't see some of these programs, they were supposed to be donating money and doing all these things. Maybe they are. I just haven't seen it. And maybe that's the reason why it's been a bigger deal now with the NFL getting involved, releasing a statement. Did you read their statement, by the way, Andrew?
Yeah, let me
tell me
say,
what you thought about the
coalition, Leroy. And I know Kenny Stills, and he's reached out to me on Twitter direct message a couple times about all this stuff. He's, you know, he is part of a coalition, or not part of the coalition, that was led by Anquan Boldin and Malcolm Jenkins and others.
Yes.
That Kenny Stills and Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed and Russell Okung and that group said, we're not part of that. And they looked at that as a real co-opting with the NFL and sort of jumping in so the NFL could feel good about these causes. Let's just, first of all, let's not make light of that, what Malcolm Jenkins and them are doing, because, you know, they've had meetings with DAs. I know Malcolm and Chris Long went to the Pennsylvania State Capitol to talk about incarceration reform. They've done some good things. But there is a feeling among some players, as you mentioned, like Kenny, that they just are doing whatever the owners, you know, sort of light stuff rather than hard stuff like we're dealing with right now. And I think the statement was, again, one of those mealy-mouthed statements. And I don't put the NFL solo in that category, Leroy. I just see so many of these statements like, yeah, we support inclusion. I'm like, come on. I mean, that's just
right.
Everyone doesn't like violence. Everyone doesn't like racism. I mean,
looting. No one likes that stuff, man.
I just can't read some of these statements because, A, I think a lot of them are written by PR people, not by themselves. And B, you know, it's kind of like the thoughts and prayers when something happens. Like, that doesn't mean anything anymore.
Talking with Andrew Brandt here on the Wendy's Big Show. You know, we see a lot of professional athletes getting out and getting in the middle of this. We've seen NBA players out and involved in this over the last few days. Enes Kanter was involved, Malcolm Brogdon, Jaylen Brown, pictures of J.R. Smith, he was involved. LeBron James was on a bike riding through L.A. for whatever the reason, pictures of that. How big of a role do you think these pro athletes can play in trying to help with all of this?
Yeah, that's a great question. And this is where I think football players are at a loss compared to basketball and baseball, simply because of the guaranteed contract thing and the fact there are a lot less players. You know, LeBron James and people like that, you know, they can do whatever they want. The team's not going to have – they're not going to have any job security issues.
Exactly.
I frankly have had players reach out to me because I'm kind of an independent voice and say, you know, I'd like to do something here, not just this week, but in the past. But you know, I'm so replaceable, and teams can just, you know, find another linebacker, find another fifth linebacker or fourth safety or sixth receiver. Like, I can't do that. Like, I just can't. And I'm like, you got to be true to yourself, but I understand your business concerns. I mean, these are the kind of things that athletes think about all the time. And yeah, it's great that LeBron and others can be as bold as they can, but of course, you know, they're not worried, and they shouldn't be worried. But I find this a really interesting time with sports where you mentioned Kaepernick. A lot of athletes see what happened to him, and they're scared to speak out.
You know, what's your thought on, I guess it's not the Rooney Rule anymore, but the new rule they're putting in place to try and hire more African-American coaches or maybe get more African-Americans in the front office? I just tell you this, I'm torn about it. I mean, I don't want to be, as an African-American, I don't want to be given a job to try to meet a quota, and then I go into the meeting room, Andrew, and I have no say-so. I'm just sitting there. I mean, I got nothing. But then on the other hand, I feel like, though, it's an opportunity, maybe I can make them like me. I mean, I'm just so torn with it. We need opportunities as African-Americans, but I don't want to be that token black guy.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I was on a panel at the Super Bowl with Tony Dungy. We really got deep in this because I think You know, all the ideas are good. The problem with the Rooney Rule in these things is you just take a snapshot, right? So the snapshot in March of 2020, you only have three head coaches and two general managers of color, and you say that stinks. But what's really going on behind it? Like, are there, what are the assistant coaches? What are the position coaches? What are the quality control coaches? What are the scouts? What are the salary cap people like I did? What are the executives? What are the finance, the PR people? And so I think the new rules are going towards more inclusion of all those levels. The thing that got the attention, which I think the NFL just floated out there as a trial balloon, see how people reacted. People reacted negatively, was this incentivized program. You hire minorities in these positions, you get improvement in draft round, you know, and people are like, I don't want people to hire me because I get a higher draft pick. But the NFL just kind of threw it out there, and I think it was kind of, we'll see. And, of course, it didn't pass. They didn't even take a vote. But the NFL is trying. I just continue to say you got to go grassroots. You can't just focus on the top.
Right. And I wouldn't feel right if I didn't ask you about the draft? I mean, we got to get some football in here, crowbar this thing in here. Now, here's what's getting on my nerves. A lot of media people claim that they felt like the Packers are lying to them because they said, that, you know, as far as drafting Jordan Love, oh, he was the best guy on the board. And I tweeted out, listen, to all the people that are bothered by this particular pick, just get over it. It ain't, whether you don't like the fact that for 25 years you said this was the best receiving core, why didn't you choose one? It just seemed like they're mad with the Packers because they were wrong about what they value these receivers, and the Packers didn't take any receivers.
Yeah.
So maybe they just believe that Jordan Love fit for what they wanted to do.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about this a lot that week. It was just, to me, everyone's comparing it. With Aaron, you know, we took the best player on the board. We didn't want to take a quarterback going in. Of course not, you know, but at some point you have to evolve. You have to prepare for the future. In that case, you know, we took Aaron. We had the Lambeau Field party below us, 1,000 people. You could hear the boos roar up from the floor below us. And Brett called the coach, Mike Sherman. Brett's agent, Buss, called me. Aaron put on a good face. He couldn't have been happy coming to Green Bay, not playing. And then for 3 years, you manage it. You know, I'm managing Brett's side, which is, hey, Andrew, it's not great coming to work every day sitting with your replacement. And then I'm managing Aaron's side, which is saying, is he ever going to play? Is he ever going to play? And it's like, you can't win. You're just trying to keep everyone calm. And then now they're going to have to deal with that. But I think the biggest point that comes out of this draft pick, which Aaron is so honest and thoughtful when he addressed it last couple weeks ago, is that we've got an expiration date on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Like,
yep,
a month ago, you're like, yeah, I mean, he'll just play till his arm falls off or he quits with the Packers. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, no, that cannot happen. Because as a first-round quarterback, you got to play. You got to play. And whether it's in 2 years or 3 years, he's going to play. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to quit in 2 or 3 years. So you've got a separation coming. And I think that's what we just got to get our arms around. And the hope is these Packer fans like us that have been spoiled with 30 years of franchise quarterback, the hope is it goes to 45 years of franchise quarterback. And that's the plan.
I see you wrote an article here in Sports Illustrated. It says comparing Brett Favre to Michael Jordan. Backlash to proposed Rooney Rule expansion. So we talked a little bit about that. But you said here, what is it like when one superstar is seen as more important than the team? Was it like
When I watched The Last Dance and everybody's busting on Jerry Krause, and by the way, you know, I got to deal with him. I worked for David Falk at the beginning of my career, and he represented Jordan. I mean, everyone's busting on Krause for saying, you know, it's not just one player, it's a team. And of course, people are laughing because it's Michael Jordan. And I said to myself, you know, that's sports management. You know, every front office guy, I was one of them. You don't want everyone focusing on your star. You're like, you know, coaches, like, don't people realize we're putting schemes out there? And management is like, don't people realize we're molding a team? And scouting is like, don't people realize we found these gems in the fifth round and this guy and that guy? It's not just Brett. And PR is like, hey, you writers, can you do more about players besides Brett? So I saw it for 10 years, and I'm sure it goes on there with Aaron. It's like you want people to realize it's a team sport. So I don't begrudge Jerry Krause for constantly saying team, 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 because that's what you want in team sports. You don't go into it thinking, I'm going to get a star and then throw the ball out and sit back.
He is Andrew Brett. Check out his great podcast, Business of Sports Podcast. Of course, former Packers CFO. Andrew, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys.
You bet. You take care. There he is, Andrew Brandt on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As your passion outgrown your home, a Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. George on the north side, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
So, good.
I wanted to just, with the Colin Kaepernick thing, they knew. I know America, we're very intelligent people. And I just, again, this racism is so, it's been here so long that it's just the new, it's like the new norm for people that's inflicting the racism. So you knew when he spoke and said that he wasn't being disrespectful at all. He was doing it for the brutality. He was doing it for the injustice. That's why I'm kneeling, not to be disrespectful to the flag. Yet, we watch a black man get a knee put on his neck. A white man put his hands in his pocket. The man said he can't breathe. The knee stay on there on live TV and lose his life in front of us, right in front of us. Now you want to revert back to Colin Kaepernick. What he was doing was the right thing. How uneducated and stupid can you be to try to revert back to something that was already, that's exactly what he was saying. And y'all knew that was exactly what he was saying. And you want to revert now, oh, I understand. America's not stupid like that. And then we get caught up with this big old thing about the American flag. Please explain to me, where is the salute? Where is the day where you salute, where it was for all those slaves that were raped, hung, dragged, killed, murdered for all those years? Where is the service for that? Where is there a day of a memorial day for all the slaves that were murdered and killed? There is none. We're not celebrating because they don't care. African American month, 1 month? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? 1 month. And I don't even celebrate Black History Month because we're more than a month. We are in the fabric of America because it was built on, half of it was built on our back and immigrants' back. So it's like, it enrages me and it infuriates me that you get caught up with this, oh, respect the flag, respect America, when America has done all the dirt and evil deeds to people and human beings, especially the African Americans. You know, it's sickening. I read books. I look at the history. It's sad. It makes you cry. It makes you angry. And I gotta make you understand what racism is when you are intelligent enough, PhD, all these kind of degrees you have. You telling me you don't know what it is when you know what it is? It ain't that you don't know what it is. You don't care. And ain't nobody stopping you because we're such the minority. And you think that you can keep doing that to people. I don't preach violence at all. I love all people. That's the type of family that I was raised in. It's all of us. I was raised in a tree of, I have white family members, black family members, Puerto Rican family, all a whole tree of it. So I've always been told that it's no color. It's a person. That's a human being. Not black, not white, not Chinese. That's a human. That's Greg. That's Bob. That's Leroy. That's Steve. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not, I don't see color. I just see a human. I got five fingers, you got five fingers. I got a heart, you got a heart. So on and so on. So that's all I really wanted to say, man. I appreciate you guys.
And I know y'all family reunion be lit. All them people you name. Yeah, I need to get that address. Thank you, my brother.
Take care, George.
I think know that family reunion
what you,
lit.
What you're looking at here, I mean, right? We want a peaceful protest. And that's what you got from Colin Kaepernick. Right? But folks complained about that. I mean, you really can't win. I mean, you want, if you were Dr. Martin Luther King, you wanted things to be peaceful. You want to turn the other cheek. I mean, and I think that's why you had Malcolm X as well with Martin Luther King. They kind of played off each other. You really had Malcolm X, who was really more kind of in your face a little bit, where Dr. Martin Luther King was preaching peaceful protest. And he got, obviously, backlash. So you get a peaceful protest, you can't win. And then, and I'm not condoning looting and rioting, and then they go and
like
do stupid
fool,
stuff.
You really get,
you're doing stupid stuff like this, tearing up targets and all that kind of mess. And of course you're going to get mad about that, because I am too. But how can we do it? When are we right? We're never right. We're never right how we do it. We want a peaceful protest. And we actually took this kid behind the woodshed about this peaceful protest that Colin was trying to do.
He's Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Still time for you on till 6 o'clock tonight. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM. The Fan. Coming up next, is it too little, too late for the National Football League? That's up next here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.